Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cheap Cheetah Money Show, a place for saving, making, and having fun with your money. We offer you a chance to learn new and creative ways to reach your financial goals. Here on the Cheap Cheetah Money Show, it's always about the money. To contact us, visit our website at www.cheapcheetah.com or at www.cheapcheetah.webs.com. And now, here is your host, Hill.
Good morning, my Cheap Cheetah family. How are you this morning? It is March 13th, and it's supposed to be a beautiful day in New York City. And if you're on daylight savings time like we are, you know, you spring forward your clock. So I just want to remind you of that. Welcome, my family and my friends and my listeners. Today we have a great treat for you. I have a great guest that will be on in a few minutes, Mr. Corey Livingston. And he's a singer. He's a songwriter. He produces his albums. Great music, and we're going to interview him, and I just cannot wait to get him on to talk to him about the ups and downs of being a musician and, you know, to do your passion and all of that. So we're going to have a great treat for you, and you know what? Let me bring him on right now, and let's interview him because I can't wait any longer. Hold on. Morning, this is the Cheap Cheetah Money Show. Is this Mr. Livingston?
That's me. How are you doing?
Corey, how are
please.
You, sir? Good morning to you. Thank you for being on the Cheap Cheetah Money Show so early in the morning.
Oh, well, you know, to make the sacrifice, right?
And we do appreciate it. Mr. Livingston, tell my guest about you.
Well, I'm from just a little above you there in Toronto, Canada, for geographically speaking, and this is where I was born. I lived here all my life, you know, and you know, I started off in music, you know, as a teenager, playing in bands, you know, playing the old saying, the garage bands, right? Everybody practiced in the garage, except, you know, we practiced in my basement because I played organ. It was so heavy, or you couldn't take it anywhere, so everybody had to come to my house. So that was one benefit of a heavy organ, right? So I did that, and, you know, and I went to, actually, I when I was about 14 years old, I made a decision, yeah, I want to be a musician. That's what I want to do when I grow up, you know. So I kept that in mind, and my early lessons were, of course, classical in nature, right? Okay. Well, not in nature; they were classical, and they were pretty dry, right? But you know, I discovered rock and roll and blues and jazz. And holy cow, this is neat. And so I signed up, took some lessons with a guy that lives here. He's moved on now, but he was an accompanist one time in his career to the late great Billie Holiday. So I certainly learned a lot.
Oh, well, sure
about music
did.
From him. Alan Ray was his name. I know he had many, many, many students I know through his career. So I followed him. He actually taught me quite a bit about music. I actually learned more from him in music than I learned at all my years going to university, you know, studying music. Mm-hmm. But, you know, wherever you can get it from, you take it from. And that's what you do. And, you know, after I graduated, I went on to, you know, started this following music career. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I just, you know, went out and put one foot in front of the other. I remember my first job, you know, in those days, this is going way back, agents, musical agents sort of ran things in town. So you had to go and, you know, knock on their door and they would sort of, you know, have all these places where they would put you. So, you know, I was just strictly a piano player.
Oh, okay.
I build my, So I went to this one agent after, you know, all my songs all ready. He says, play me something. I sat down and played, you know, okay, that's fine. And he says, do you sing? I says, oh, no, I don't. He says, sorry, everything I use, because there's piano bars were the thing then. You got to be able to sing. So I said, okay. And so I went on to my next audition the same day.
Uh-huh.
And I sat down again, played a little something. And they said, well, do you sing? I said, oh, yeah, I sing.
Now you caught on. Yeah, uh-huh. I sing.
I'm a fast learner.
I do everything.
You know, I'd never sung at all before. You know, because all the bands I've been in, you know, well, I was in a lead singer. So, you know, I sang, what did I sing? I think I sang Dionne Warwick's Walk On By, you know, or Summertime, something like that. Okay. You know, I didn't get a job, but yeah, at least I got my foot in the door, you know. And
yeah.
From then on, I became a singer. And actually, because I sang, that's how I got all my jobs, because singing was more important as a soloist. Singing was more important than playing the piano, or just as important. Can't have one and without the other, right? Like salt and pepper type of thing, you know, bread and butter. So that was my say. That's how I became an instant singer on the job, you know, just like that.
Do you find that, okay, you've been singing for quite some time. Do you find it's kind of hard to do your singing and, you know, try to make the money to live, because that's like you're a freelancer in a sense. So
yeah.
Living and singing, so sometimes you just, so how would you tell somebody to do that?
Well, you know, it's no different from being a small business owner, because that's what you are, a small business owner. When you're a small business owner, you have to make whatever it is you make, right? It could be widgets, you know. You could be selling ice cream. Doesn't matter what it is. You could be a computer tech guy, but that's the skill or the service or the product that you do, that you sell. But you still have to advertise. You still have to market. You still have to, you know, go out and sell. So it was no different. It's the same as being a small business person, and this is what a lot of musicians miss. A lot of people, because you know, if you go to any business networking thing and you talk to small business owners, they always talk. I'm the chief. I'm the cook. I'm the bottle washer. Right? Because they have
to
do the same.
That's true.
They got to be selling their stuff, and they got to, you know, they haven't got it. They got to answer their own phones. They got to do their own sales leads. You know, they have to do all that stuff, unless you get so big that you can, or you grow, then you can hire some, right? But I never, the closest I ever got to hiring somebody was I used to hire students, this high school student on the weekend, and she would go on the computer and search for this data that I needed, right? So, and I was paying, you know, like $8 an hour, right? So I could afford that. So that was once a week. Every Saturday, so that's the closest I got, like to an employee. So that's what it is. It's just, you know, being a musician, you know the key word is you're looking at show business, and the two words, the biggest word of the two is business. You know, so you are a small business person, and you have to act like that. You know, you can't sit by the phone waiting for it to ring, because it ain't going to ring. You have to make it ring.
That's so true. That's so true. What have you found being an artist, such as yourself, the hardest thing about being your own business and trying to go out there and do everything and trying to keep your head up? Because a lot of times you get more discouraged and you're like, look, I'm quitting. I'm done with it. I can't be so bothered. So what do you find your hardest?
Well, it's everybody has that, even if you're not a musician. Again, going back to small business analogy. Why should I keep doing this? You know, I've got to make all these house calls. I've got to make all these phone calls. You see, so I acted just like a small business person. I also had different streams of income. I just didn't rely strictly on. It was all music-based, Okay. See, what happens is that if you get tunnel vision in your career or whatever it is that you do, you're finished. Okay. Later, if you hit the big time, then okay, yeah, that's you're on your way. But you know, on your way there, like I had music students, right?
Uh-huh.
I taught privately music students, and,
uh-huh.
and that was. And I'll tell you, just take a little sidebar here.
Uh-huh.
If you look at any famous musician, the most famous, I don't care, you're looking at Wynton Marsalis, look at any famous musical, classical person, any
uh-huh.
famous singer in the world. Actually, look at the most famous, and you can bet dollars to donuts that
uh-huh.
they teach at a conservatory, at a university,
uh-huh.
or a college. If not full-time, part-time. You can bet uh-huh. dollars to donuts. Okay, or they do a lot of guest appearances. I don't know if you know, there's a guy in New York City, a piano
uh-huh.
player. His name is Barry Harris. I don't know if you know. Maybe your listeners know Barry Harris.
Uh-huh.
But he taught a lot of the famous jazz musicians, including Charlie Parker. Who's that trumpet player? Dizzy Gillespie. Like, he's probably 80. He's in his mid-80s now, right? But he taught all those famous bebop cats. He taught them. And
uh-huh.
he plays as well, but he makes his most money now. He travels around the world teaching at universities and college students and conservatories all over the world about how to play bebop jazz. He teaches.
Okay.
So, you know, every great musician teaches because people want to know what they know. And people think, well, yes, they travel here, they travel there, but you know, you cannot travel 365 days a year around the world.
That's
it's
true.
Impossible. You can try it, okay, but it takes its toll,
uh-huh.
and as you get older, as you get smarter, you know, I can't be flying on airplanes here and flying buses here and there. I mean, it's downright tiring, right?
Yeah, it does take a toll. You are right.
You need to come home. You need to come put your feet up. You
right.
need to snap open a beer, right?
Right.
You need to
right.
watch TV. You need to relax with your family, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And teaching allows you to do that. I mean, you got to have the whole thing is about having a steady source of income. Okay, so I did private school. I did private teaching. I had my own students, and I was still playing at night, right? And then I had my own. I opened my own private high school back in the late 70s, early 80s. I ran for 5 years. It was called the Toronto High School for the Performing Arts.
Oh, that's
Where
nice.
The kids learned all the academics,
mm-hmm.
and they also had their whole afternoons was spent in either drama, music, or dance. You know, and in fact, I went to the New York School of Performing Arts there, right downtown there, where your city,
mm-hmm.
before opening my own. Take a look at what they were doing. Because people from all over the world go to that school to see how it's run. So it's quite a famous school, a high school. And that's a school where Barbra Streisand went, Neil, the guy that sang Sweet Caroline.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they went to that school as teenagers, you know. And so I did that. And I also, in my wisdom, I went to university, so I'd have something to fall back on if my music didn't work out. So
okay.
I bought an insurance
Please.
Policy. I bought an insurance
yes,
policy. And with that insurance policy, I was able to teach in the public school system.
Oh, okay.
I do that part-time.
Music teacher, of course.
You know, yes, music teacher, yes. So, you know, I had, I guess I had the wisdom to have all the bases covered, and bringing business into music was a natural thing for me. Because my parents, my dad was, he worked for him, had his own construction company. You sort of grow up around an environment where your parents were self-subsistent, right? And they, you know, they made their own living for themselves. So it subconsciously it rubs off, right? So I wasn't one of these people who, or musicians, because, you know, a lot of them sit around and say, you know, I'm owed this, I'm owed that. I spent 20 years practicing the piano, the violin, whatever it is. I'm owed a living. You're not owed a damn thing. You have to go out. And it's that attitude that will make you. See, I'm not famous, you know. I'm not around the world, but I'm successful.
And you're doing what you love. And you're doing.
I'm doing what I love.
Yeah.
You know, I'm making a living. You know, I have a nice home. Okay. I'm successful in that. My kids have grown up and that they're healthy and they're safe, right? That's success, is it not? Success doesn't mean
I've
got $1 million in the bank, right?
Right. It means doing what you want to do with your life and enjoying it and making sure you have enough income coming in so that you can take care of your basic needs, like food, shelter, and clothing, and your family's happy. That's basically all you need.
That's right, and that's success, you know?
Right.
You know, there's different. Yeah, you can go on, and I haven't stopped there. You keep going from one rung to the next, to the next, to the next, right? So you don't have to chase. You know, it's not all about we like you said. We do it. You do have to have money. I mean, let's face it. But if you're going to sit around, and I know a lot of musicians do. I mean, that's the stereotype, anyways. Waiting for the phone to ring, you know, or waiting to be discovered, you know. Like my mom used to say, if I didn't want to eat dinner, it's a long time to a breakfast, right? So
that's cute. I like that.
So that's exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be a long time before somebody gives you a call, right? you better get
up. That is so cute.
Yeah.
You
better get up and get. You have to make things happen.
Yeah.
So
that's
you know, so it can be like, I know musicians, so I've got some friends. I mean, this guy's, he's as old as I am, even older, and he's living in a one-room flat with his girlfriend, you know? Holy dumping, geez, you know? he's a great musician. He's a better musician than I am. But
he could do a little bit better from what you're saying. He can do a lot better if he do have,
you know,
some income streams coming in.
he's only got one income stream coming in, and you know, only it depends who calls him up, you know. What the music business, at least up here in Canada, has changed. You know, when I first came in, my first 15, 20 years, you worked six nights a week.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
From 9 to 1. 6 nights a week. That was the norm, you know. And I did. A lot of the other guys didn't, because, you know, I'll come to that and remember to tell that story in a second, but 6 nights a week. But now it changed, it morphed. All the piano bars are gone. Every single hotel up here used to have a piano bar, and then the other part of the hotel there would be a lounge where there would be a party band, you know, or a show band. And you could go into the bar, and they all had bands. And all, there's so many. That's all changed now. It's clubs that have them, the bands are not as big. The agent scene is all gone. Well, it's there.
Yeah.
So the agents are here in the corporate level. And most work, I work on the weekends now.
Oh, okay.
Because, and I no longer play in clubs. I play corporate gigs now.
Oh, that's good. That's even better.
Coca-Cola, airplanes. That's where
that's
the money is.
Yeah.
It's even better.
That's even
you know,
better.
I work
that's
one
even
night.
Better.
Yeah, I work one night. I get a one job. I get a one job corporate. The other guys that I know, that work in the clubs, they're working. They're working 6-7 weeks. Get the same 6-7 weeks.
How much you get for that couple hours in corporate?
Yeah, you know, they get the same. They get that same money, but. And it's terrible what's happened because, you know, what the standard fee up here for a bar, for a sideman, for a musician, you got five guys in the band. The leader might make a couple of hundred, and the other guys will make, lucky if they make $100 each.
Fair.
And it's an eight-hour job. It's an eight-hour job because, you know, it takes you an hour to get ready, hour to drive there, hour to set up. You're going to play for 4 hours, right? And then you got to drive home with an hour. And you break down. So it's 8 hours. Time you leave your house and come back here. That's 8 hours you spent, and they come home with $100 in your pocket.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
And basically, it's like you really didn't play for free. Before I run out of time, I need for you to tell people where to contact you, to really tell me about your albums that's out. Before we run out of time, I don't want my listeners to miss out on where they can get in contact with you, where they can get your music.
So they go to my website, www.coryliveingstone.com, that's K-O-R-Y-L-I-V-I-N-G-S-T, Livingstone, just like it sounds, E on the end, .com. That's my website. But I got to tell you folks, you know, I've just published my first book. It's called Quiet Determination, Unlocking the Gates from Limited Success. And that's available on Amazon. And the moral of that book is, the theme of that book is success. Success in music, success in life. Okay, that's the theme of that book. So everything I learned about the lessons I learned, the life lessons I learned in music class while I was taking music. I learned many life lessons while I was taking music lessons, and those life lessons are the same lessons I apply to my own life. The same things I apply to business. The same things that everybody can apply to business, the same things you can apply to making your dreams come true. And these are the lessons I learned while taking piano lessons. So, and that's why I say to a lot of people, parents, if you're not sure why your kid's taking lessons, they don't have to be great about taking violin lessons. They don't have to be good, but there's lessons to be learned by taking some type of music lessons, lessons about life that will put them in good stead. Look at your president, one of your past presidents, Bill Clinton, played saxophone. Uh-huh. Look at Albert Einstein, played violin. Okay. Look at Condoleezza Rice, one of the past U.S. Secretaries of State. She was on her way to becoming a concert pianist before she got involved in politics.
That's news. You tell us all this great information. That is news to me. I never knew these people were so involved in music. And that's part of that will be in your book and stuff.
Yes.
Okay. And tell us one more time where we can get your book. And also,
Amazon.com. Just punch in Quiet Determination. And you should come up with my name, Corey Livingstone. So there might be a couple of other things related to Quiet Determination, but it's the book Quiet Determination. That's all you need. You don't need to worry about unlocking the gates to unlimited success, because the Quiet Determination, then my name, Corey Livingstone, and you can download the paperback or the digital copy.
And you also have two albums also. I was looking at your website.
I got five albums. You can get them on. You can look on my website.
Okay, sorry.
Look on my website, and you can listen to some of them, and you can download, you know.
Oh.
And I also tell your listeners, well, I'm at shameless plug.
Go ahead.
I also write custom-made songs for weddings and whatnot, things like that.
Oh,
so that's another income stream. So you just have to be inventive as far as where your money's coming from musically. Use all the skills you got.
That is so true. And that is so important to say, not just, like you said, just to be boxed into one thing. I'm a musician. That's all I'm going to do. you can't do that because you have to say, all right, I have to write a book, or I have to go out and sell albums, or I have to go out and do other, I have to teach, because that you have a main source, and until your actual music jumps off, you'll have, you know, you got to eat.
In fact, I wrote the book because that's the segue into my next career as a keynote speaker.
Oh, okay. See?
And in my keynote speaking, I'm including my music. So I'm not abandoning my music because my music is part of my keynote speaking. When I speak, when you listen to a keynote speaker, you always tell a story, right? There's always a good keynote speakers always tell several stories throughout the talk that they're giving. So what I do, I accentuate every story that I tell with a song that I perform live.
That is great. And Mr. Livingston, maybe in a couple of months, let me get your book, let me read it. I want you to come back and talk about your book.
That'd be great.
I definitely want you to come back, and I do appreciate you getting up this morning and being on the Cheap Cheetah Money Show. I will definitely stay in contact with you, and I thank you because you've given us so much information about the music industry and about your state of mind and your income stream. So it was a lot to listen to, and we truly appreciate you being here on the show, on the Cheap Cheetah Money Show. And your website and everything is out there because I've been telling my listeners, you know, you have great music, and now you got a book. I can't wait to read it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being part of this show, and we will have a great weekend with, you know, Sunday was left of it.
Yeah.
And I will definitely be in contact with you.
My pleasure.
To talk about your book.
All right. That would be great.
Yeah, so we will keep in contact. You have a great day, and thank you again for being on the Cheap Cheetah Money Show.
You're more than welcome. Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Folks, that was a great interview, okay? Corey Livingston, the singer, the songwriter, now the author, wonderful. Great interview. I hope you learned a lot from it. If you didn't get a chance to, or if you did, wonderful, pass it on, you know, let people listen to the archive, go to his website, which is on, of course, our Facebook page. It's also on the blog, the Cheap Cheetah Money Show, all that great, great interview, very informative, very informative. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I have. Next week. Well, I can't even tell you what we're going to talk about because I don't know. But I do know I have another guest coming on in another week or so for you. So maybe this will be guest year. We'll have a bunch of great guests that we can talk about later on. Folks, I have only a couple of minutes, so please get your questions into me regarding saving, making, and having fun with money. April, I want to do a Q&A session, which is a question-answer about all your questions. I know you have some, so email me at cheapcheetah@yahoo.com. If you have questions that you would like for me to answer on saving, making, and having fun with money. And also, the contest is going. You get a great gift if you tell me the best way you have saved money for the spring. Give me your best Cheap Cheetah money saving tip that you do for the spring that saves you the best money, and you will win. Okay, it's not a Gucci bag, but it's a Cheap Cheetah bag, and it's just as good. You know, you can do great stuff with a Cheap Cheetah bag, so don't forget about that. And on that note, keep your money on your mind, your mind on your money. I love you. I appreciate you. And as I always tell you, until next time, save that money, folks.